Now, I don't even know what episode this is, but we're going to go ahead and Harvey County Digital, episode blank, starting in 3, 2, 1. Dwight, what's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing better than I deserve, bro. It's really good to get you here. So, hey, real quick, we are careful. Here's Go Spurs Go. It's going to be an interesting season, but just wanted to go ahead for nostalgic purposes, as one of my guys said. There we go. Man, what a world we're living in today. I'm going to look at that 5 years from now and remember what was going on today. Be like, what the heck, man?
Yeah, it's crazy, that's for sure. It seems like every time we come to these elections, we think to ourselves, this is an important election.
Yeah.
And every time it's, man, this is an important election. So right. Here we go again.
And what's the thing behind the important election, right? It gets us all emotional. And I don't want to have an answer right now, but I mean, there's so much going on and so much pressure and the media is doing the thing it's doing. So it's nice to get with a local guy that's doing local things and just to get to know you and the community to get to know you. So I'm excited about it. I got my Like Dwight button here that we put together a while back. So I'm really excited. Full disclosure, I am working with Dwight on some things on some back end of his campaign, and I'm really excited to be doing that. I appreciate your message, who you are, what you represent. And then I wanted to go ahead and do a quick shout out to our sponsors, okay? We've got Kane Painting and K5 Painting, who are our platinum sponsors. We really appreciate you guys. They're working on some things internally that I'm helping them with, but you know, marketing today's day and age and getting that information and knowing how it works is huge. And they're going to be leading the way here very soon. And they're helping me with their sponsorships build projects and programs where we can take Newton to the next level in Harvey County as a whole. So that's exciting. And then Faith and Life Bookstore. I want to say thanks to Faith and Life Bookstore. We appreciate you guys trusting us to help you with some of your stuff. And then for also supporting our podcast and our messages moving forward. So this is a leadership podcast, and we do have a leader here today. So Dwight, you got a colorful background. You've done a lot in your life. And so I want to go ahead and start with a warm up. We call this the Mad Minute, right?
Okay.
So I want to start off and throw, what's your favorite color? That's our first question.
Favorite color. Yeah, I would say either black or red.
Okay.
I know it's, I usually represent my color with my car, and I got a black truck and I got a red car.
Okay.
And, I like black just because it seems kind of powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and red is fast.
Right on.
You know, so those two things I guess that'd probably be my favorite two colors. Yeah.
You know, so a guy like you, this is going to be an interesting question. So my second question, and you kind of answered some of it there, but you are an interesting character. So this is going to, it won't surprise me either way, to be quite frank. A muscle car or luxury sedan? If you had to pick one of the two, where do you lean?
Man, again, that's tough.
Yeah.
I used to own a 68 Mustang Fastback.
Wow.
And I really loved that car. I had it. It was the first car I bought. No, second car I bought when I got out of the military. And I had it for 20 plus years. I actually just got rid of it not too long ago so I could buy a tractor. So it was a little bit of a get rid of this fun toy here to get this new fun toy over here.
Right.
But I also dig luxury sedans. The car I drive every day now is it's a 2014 Lexus, but it's the F Sport.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice car.
The difference between the two is that 68 Mustang just had raw horsepower.
Right.
And to put it in a straight line and just hammer it, man, it'd raise your goosebumps.
Yeah.
But that the newer luxury sedan, putting that thing in a curve somewhere, it's all-wheel drive, it's got a lot of power too, and it just sets you back in the seat. And
yep.
Man, they're just fun.
Yep, they are. And that's a good kind of way to balance those two out, right? Because I had an IS300 and had a super engine in it. It was 5-speed.
Yeah.
So, man, and it all, you know, when I went, that thing's, it hugged the ground. It moved. It was pretty intense, yeah. Actually, you know. Yeah.
They're fun. So, fun either way.
Right on. Here's one of my favorite questions. What's your favorite go-to order at your favorite hometown restaurant?
Well, probably what I eat the most, believe it or not, is a number one Sonic cheeseburger.
Right on.
Ketchup and mayo. No onions. Cheese tots.
Yeah.
And a vanilla Dr. Pepper.
You know, like the back of your hand. How do you stay so small, dude?
No, it's getting rough. As you get older, it gets rough to do that. But
yeah.
Man, it's delicious. I absolutely love it.
It's good stuff, man. Yeah. Okay. Is there a special place in Harvey County that you enjoy going to, visiting, or that just kind of says, wow, that's I like that place?
Special place in Harvey County. Well, where I go the most, I got a small piece of land up on the north side of town.
Yeah.
I bought it a few years ago. I like to deer hunt and I love outdoors. I love nature. And I was finally got to a point in my life where I could get my own piece.
Nice.
And so that's hence the tractor.
Yeah.
I got the tractor for the land.
Yeah.
And I go out there and that's where I spend my free time cultivating the land. I've planted an apple orchard out on it since I've owned it. I've kind of manicured it up a little bit to help the wildlife. I built a pond in on it. And that's where I like to go spend my free time. And I love to take my family and friends out there with me when we go. It's a place that you get to go and you get to work hard and you get to get your sweat on. And you get to really start seeing results from the hard work that you do. And, you know, every time you're out there and you do something constructive with it, you just get to see that end result and, you know, it makes it better. So
absolutely.
It's a blast to me.
You know, and that's interesting. I said, Ron Harder is a guy I respect a ton. And you know, he used to talk about how he enjoyed mowing. Right. And this is when I had a house in town and it was just not my favorite thing to do. But now in the situation I'm in today, you know, there's nothing like getting on that mower and riding for 4 hours. And just after you're done enjoying that.
Well, I tell you, I hate mowing in town. I hate mowing my grass at that house. But I'll get on the tractor out at the land and put the brush hog on it. Man, I could mow all day out
that's
there,
awesome.
You know?
Isn't that
so
something?
To me, it's completely different, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, man. So I want to get into some of your background as you're growing up. So tell me about who was Dwight as a young guy? All the way from, you know, pick a season in your life when you're young, high school or under. Who were you, man? What do you see yourself as today?
I tell you, the kid I was compared to the man I am, I don't think if you had a chart of people on one side and a chart of people on this side and you were drawing lines from this guy to this guy, I don't think you'd ever pick for who I was here to who I am here.
That's amazing.
As a kid, I was shy. I mean, I'm still shy. I'm not always the most outgoing person, but as a kid, it was real bad. I couldn't hardly, you know, assert myself in any manner whatsoever. Mm. So yeah, very, very shy kid. But I had this, I don't know what I guess I'll call an aha moment. And it was when I was in the military and it was just a day and a time and a place. And I remember it very vividly in my mind, where I realized I can do this.
Right.
I can do whatever I set my mind to. I look around at the people next to me and I think they're doing it. I'm doing it, you know? And so I don't know if that really answers your question, but
yeah, it does. It does. So it's interesting to me. So you're talking about you weren't very confident, but there was a moment after the military.
In the military.
It was in there.
It was in the military.
So were you in the training portion? Were you already on a team doing your thing with your skill set? Where was that in that military career that happened?
So I was in the regular, what I call the regular army. If you're in the military, you know the term regular army. I was in the regular army. And I had volunteered to get into special operations. And it was really during the what I'll call the indoctrination period. They call it zero day in my special operations training that I remember thinking to myself, what are you doing? I mean, we had been getting just punished all morning long with physical exercise.
Yeah.
Just brutal, a brutal experience.
Getting worked.
Literally to the point where it's almost bringing a tear to your eye. And that's exactly what it was for.
Yeah.
It was exactly to find that breaking point. When and how far can you push yourself until you realize I'm done. I can't go anymore. And at that moment, I found that breaking point of where you were, where I am, who I am. And from there, it was all building up, you know, and I wish it was something that everybody could go through in their life.
Absolutely,
you know,
man.
And maybe they all do. Maybe it's just a little different. Maybe it's a low point in their life or something. I don't know.
Right.
But I distinctly remember out in the grass field doing push-ups, looking to the left, looking to the right, and thinking to myself, what are you doing?
Right.
And boom,
switch.
It just kind of clicked from there on. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm doing. I know why. And it creates a whole nother level for you of how far you know you can push yourself.
In the personal responsibility, it's kind of beat into you, paying the man in that arena to serve the team. Is that where it comes out? You're there kind of for the guy of the right and left, or is it a selfish thing at some point to realize you got to take care of self before others? How is that unpacked for you in that experience? Because I wish I would have did it. I didn't, but I really love these parts of these stories because, I mean, that's where the goal is at, right?
Well, it comes down to team, sure, but in a team, you also got to know your piece, and you got to know what part you can play, and you got to know where your skill set lies, and you got to know, okay, how do I create that synergy? I mean, having a team does you no good if you don't create synergy.
Beautiful.
Because otherwise, you should just be doing it by yourself. But if you can get to that point where you take a group of people and you make that group better than the individuals, bam, then you got success.
But the individuals are super drilled into their part.
Absolutely.
Like they cannot fail their part.
Exactly. So I have a management background. My undergraduate's business administration with a major in management.
Yeah.
And now I have an MBA. But my whole thing through my education and my military has always been, if something's failing, it's failing most likely because you got bad management. It isn't because you necessarily got bad people or you got necessarily a bad organization, but it's probably because you got bad management. And it's that manager's responsibility to figure out how to take this puzzle, which, you know, could be a team of people or whatever, how you orient that puzzle to get that synergy. You know, because we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses, and as a manager, it's your responsibility to figure out how to put those things in line to then create that better entity, you know? Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's awesome. I mean, you know, we went down that list rather quickly, but I was really excited. I wanted to get into that military side of you because I see there's some disciplines there that have been drilled in. And I didn't know if you got that as a child or if it was there in a certain way, but then it was refined in the military, or if it was just the military really helped structure and shape the motivations that I see in you when I see you chasing something down or processing through things. And I mean, the way you're working right now, it's just attractive to see people on the go, right? And you're doing that on top of being a family man, on top of running businesses, on top of the personal things that everybody has that you have to go through, right? I mean, and so that's pretty, to me, it's exciting to see that drive, that American spirit, that go get it attitude. So do you say that switch, when that went off, is that where that culminated?
Well, it was probably, so my parents raised me well. You know, my parents taught me respect. Mm. And it was probably always there. But, you know, somehow, some way, you got to make that transition from a kid to an adult, you know. And your parents give you all those building blocks. And as a kid, you don't realize you're getting them, you know. But eventually, like I said, something clicks, something snaps, something pops, and you realize, man, I have this great foundation. Let me take it and move forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was probably the parents gave me the foundation, and then the military just kind of lit the fire underneath it, because at that point I realized, you know, I'm not at home with mom and dad anymore. I don't have that security blanket, but I have the tools I need to succeed if I just figure out how to apply them.
That sounds like a lot of personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely one of the main themes of this podcast, right? Is finding these people who are extraordinary doers in the marketplace and in the world and in their whatever perspective pieces that they choose to influence in their lives. And then find that piece of personal responsibility that's in every single one of them. They do not pass the buck.
Yeah.
I mean, Val Gleason, Leroy Kane, Clint McBroom, whether you like all these people or not, they all have the "I've got to get it done" attitude. I'm not going to pass the buck attitude. And if it's going to be, it's up to me personalities. And you guys carry those pieces. And I really appreciate that. So, okay. So moving on, you chose to run for the 72nd district seat here in Topeka for to represent the 72nd District, which is a big portion of where I grew up in most of my adult life. A lot of people that I love and care about live in these districts and the areas that that influences. Why did you choose to jump in? What is your goals and where's your heart at with that? Like where did this transpire?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a lot of questions.
Yeah, yeah. Unpack that for me.
So it comes down to throughout life, you know, I've been building this, life, you know. I spent a lot of time in the military. I spent a lot of time in the corporate world building myself up. And I finally got to the point where I could give more. You know, the first, you know, I'm towards my late 40s now. So that first, you know, 20, 25 years here of being an adult, I spent for me, getting myself in a position that, you know, I can live a good life.
Right.
And so now I'm to the point where I can give more back. I've always been a patriotic person. And so now I have that opportunity where I can give more to the community. And when, you know, I kind of saw what's going on the last 4 years, the representation that we've had in Topeka, and along with a lot of other people, I don't necessarily think that that's the guy that represents the 72nd. And so I got to the point where I wanted to take what I've learned and to take those experiences and give them to my community. And I thought this would be the best way to do it. You know, every candidate decides when and how they're going to run. And I think the candidates that we have are good people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that, I just thought that maybe I offered something that they didn't have.
Right.
And that's why I got in the race.
Got it.
So nothing against them, but I just think that I can offer more through my experiences. And so that's why I decided to run. So
you're ready to jump in.
Yeah.
And, you know, just another full disclosure. We did have a podcast 2 years ago with Tim Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the whole deal. You know, I was actually in a studio and the whole thing and had, you know, production, sent it to their team to approve, to put it up, because I said I would do that. Mm-hmm. And it was not approved. So to the people out there that get mad at me, I'm open, have him contact me. We want to do a podcast. It's not an I got you kind of podcast. It's just to get to know each other podcast. And it's a leadership podcast. And whether you like Tim or not, he's leading, right? That's it, bottom line. And he has a family and he has things he has to do. And so I respect that part of who he is. Now, we don't agree on politics, but I don't care. That's
right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We need all types in my world, right? And I need to learn, because there's probably things that he could teach me. And I actually, we talked about that during the podcast. And it wasn't an ugly podcast by any means. It just was asked not to be shared. And that's okay. I didn't do it. I respected that. We paid all the time and money and everything to get that done in a little bit different manner than this. Well, by the way, guys, we're sitting here with our air conditioners out. Our studio is still not all the way built yet, so we're still working it here. As we're rebuilding that and reworking that situation. But I appreciate you coming in and being open to doing this on the fly like we did.
Sure.
Because I just love these stories and getting the community to see the different people that help our community function. So this is not a right-wing channel. This is a podcast for leadership, and I will have all comers on here. I'd love to have you and Tim on a debate. That would be great. We can do that on channel here.
Well,
that'd be a wonderful deal.
Hopefully we'll make it past the primary and we'll get the chance to do that.
It's out there. You heard it from Dwight. He's down. Tim, where you at, bro? Let's go. So thank you for that. And one of these questions I did not want to let pass is, what are you curious about right now? So there's been a drive that I see in you, and the more I get to know you over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, and see the people you're connected to, and see your work ethic, which is it's there, right? You can get down when you have to, and I'm seeing you out there. I'm seeing your signs go up. I'm seeing you network and connect. I'm seeing you make phone calls. I mean, you're not playing around, right? You're working hard, and that's amazing. That's why I got my button on. And I love that spirit. To me, that's the American spirit, right? The pioneer doesn't have all the answers, but he's going to go build it. He's going to put a structure behind it. He's going to put a system behind it. He's going to play within the rules, right? Push boundaries, but yet stay within a realm of respect, right? And you're doing all those things. What are you curious about right now? Where's that drive taking you?
Well, yeah, right here.
Right.
You know, to the campaign. That's really what a lot of my focus is on now. I spend hours every day working on the campaign, and it's even if you know, even if nothing comes of this, even if I don't win, I'll have learned so much. And that's a big part of me is being a lifelong learner. You know, I don't ever want to quit learning something. And so I'm also a big fan of learning the rules of something and learning how to work inside those rules to make things happen. I don't like to sit back when I see something I don't like. I don't like to sit back and just watch it go by. You know, I want to get in, get involved, figure out, okay, what do I have to do to fix things or change things in this system to make them better, not just for me, but for people around me too. You know, I like helping other people. And I like the people that are around me to find success as well. And so that's a big driver for me in doing this. I have a business, I have employees, and you know, one of the most rewarding things about that is watching these employees grow, whether it's in the job or whether it's in their personal lives, or you know, watching them take care of their families and help them provide that vehicle for them to do so. I really like that kind of stuff. So to me, that's kind of what this is about. And I want to take that to the 72nd. You know, I want to be able to get in the system. I want to be able to figure out, okay, what can I do? What can I do? Where can I help make the people around me, the 72nd district, better for it?
And you're going to go change our water bill, right?
Well, yeah. Talk to your city commissioners for that one, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You know, and this is the thing, right? It's like when we get information out and we teach people how the system actually works, and it's a process, because it's a process for me as well. I'm still learning myself. But when you hear some of the things and you start putting two and two together and understand how it really works, and you're like, how do you promise or talk about things you can't affect? You know, and I'm glad that you're a straight shooter, just like you did. You know, that's, you can probably assist in setting up conversations, but checks have been written. Debts are there. We have to move forward and have plans. You can't cry about spilled milk. You got to figure out, okay, that milk was spilled. How do we most effectively and systematically move forward and then take those lessons and not do it again? I know one of my mentors, Scott Redler, he's an amazing operator. He's one of the co-founders of Freddy's Frozen Custard. He tells me, I was crying about a decision that I had made one time. He says, Andy, you know, we all make bad choices and bad decisions sometimes. The problem with what you're doing right now is you won't make it doing what you're doing. We get paid to make more good decisions than bad. When you make the bad ones, you need to learn from them and you need to move on fast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so one of the things that I go back to in my military time is I would much rather have somebody around me that makes a decision than somebody and the decision be wrong sometimes.
Right.
Than have people around you that won't make decisions, because if you make a decision and it's wrong, then just work towards fixing it.
Right.
You know, okay, we got off track a little bit. Let's do something to get ourselves back on the straight and narrow and back where we need to be. But if you're around people that won't make decisions and won't help, you can't get anywhere.
Right.
You know, so you got to bring those people that'll make those decisions together to get somewhere,
right.
To move forward.
And you have to give people grace to make those decisions, right? And
Absolutely.
Learn how to empower them to do that. And so guys like us, you know, one of my rules in my company is, a bad decision is a good decision as long as I hear about it fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to make bad decisions, but if I hear about it fast, so be it. Let's unpack it. Let's work through it. And we can start fixing it. If you try to cover it up and hide it and minimize it and not take responsibility, that's when you don't have a real good teammate. And that doesn't work today.
Well, and chances are, if you made a bad decision, it's probably because you didn't have all the information. And that might be my fault.
Right.
You know, so at least go out and try.
And most of the time it's communication, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we got to learn to communicate differently. What we say to somebody else may not be the way they're interpreting it. And
It's crazy. I mean, literally, we could sit right here and talk into these mics, look at each other in the eye,
right,
and say something. And it, you may still perceive it wrong from how I intended for it to come across.
Absolutely.
So that the part of what drives me crazy in today's world is there's so many different forms of communication. And what I've been very cautious about during this election cycle here is making sure that I don't say anything that can be misconstrued.
And they will.
Or, yeah, I know it will be.
No matter what you do.
And yeah. I'm trying not to make promises that I don't know if I can keep. Because I don't want to go around telling people, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or this or the other. And then realize, oh, that was dumb because you can't do anything about that.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
So, it's crazy how easily something can be misread, even to the point of right here, 2-3 feet across.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, there's these clickbait, and I'm sure you're aware of this now, the more you're getting into your social media world and almost by force, because you're a different production type of character. Social media was not your world, but you understand it's important to communicate to your base and to be open and transparent and all those things. And you're doing a great job, by the way. You know, the headlines, the clickbait stuff is almost unbelievable. You'll read something, and most people don't even realize and understand this. You read something, and it has nothing to do with the article behind it.
Oh, but, yeah. But that, or very little.
Yeah. Or it's all theory. It's all maybes, and there's a lot of possibles. And it's, hey, somebody said this, and they turn it. And it just depends on what media station is bought by what channel, who's controlled by what corporate agenda to get things done. Media is not what it used to be. And that's why these things exist, right? You're going to see this in full form online. If someone misconstrues it, we have the whole recording. So we can go back and say, hey, misconstrues it and say, hey, here you go. Here's the whole deal.
Yeah. Or here's the context in which it was said in.
And here's how it was asked. Or here's how maybe I misrepresented that. I should have said it this way, but it is what it is. But you could see through that conversation that it wasn't a deliberate 10-second dig at whatever thing you're trying to make it, because it really didn't have anything to do with that. We're talking about a childhood, for God's sake, you know.
Right.
But yeah, no, I mean, and people want, see, today's media, we have you and Tim on here, and y'all got 5 minutes, 2.5 minutes apiece to just make it exciting. Top high level stuff. You cannot teach the stuff you're learning about right now and regurgitate it healthy in 2.5 minutes against somebody else who has a total different opinion and 2.5 minutes. So in 5 minutes, you guys are going to break down a 40-year-old problem and make your side look better. Yep. That's very, is that sound feasible to me? To
well,
you?
It's definitely hard. That's for sure. And, right. You know, what I found out about myself through this whole process is I'm not necessarily a good salesman on myself. You know, if I have one regret or one thing that I wish I would have done better through this, it would have been to figure out how to sell myself better, because this, I love this dialogue.
Yeah.
You ask me questions, I answer, we feed off of each other and ideas are generated. But when we get into these forums where a question was asked and you're just expected to, you know, regurgitate facts or regurgitate an opinion off of that, to me is difficult. I'd much rather have the dialogue go back and forth so that it's more fluid and it's more understood of what a guy's trying to say. Because you can look at facts, you can look at figures, you can remember them, you can regurgitate them. But like in this instance, what we're about to run into, Tim's got a 4-year head start.
Right.
You know, he's been in Topeka for 4 years, so he's lived it, he's breathed it, you know, he's obviously won 2 campaigns. So he has that advantage to those kinds of things where, you know, I'm just a guy.
Right.
You know, I was in El Dorado last week, and that was one of the things I told the people that was there, is that 4 years ago, I was just like you. I was sitting in the audience listening to these guys up here talk about trying to explain themselves to get your vote.
Right.
And now here I am doing it. And I realize, man, maybe I'm not quite so good at this part of it. You know, the campaigning part of it is difficult. Something I really haven't had to do before. You know, I've been in the situations where I've been before. I don't want to say I'm always the expert in it, but it's always been, you know, my specific field. So I've understood the details down to the micro level,
right?
You know, the micron level,
and
because that's what I dealt with, is the micron level stuff. And so now here I am, maybe came into this a little bit late, but came into it with a good heart and really want to be able to move forward and take on Tim Hodge.
A good heart and a lot of work ethic.
Yeah.
And you're here doing it. Absolutely. And we talked about this not too long ago, and here we are, and you made it happen. I'm making it happen. We're in a room that doesn't have air conditioner. We got fans going on, and it's the environment that you just keep going and make it happen with what you got, right? You're resourceful, and that's what you are. Well, thank you for talking about that. I think one of the last things, and kind of to bring this to a close, so there's so many thoughts I have, and I think we can go on for 2 hours, literally. But I wanted people to get a sense for who you were. Your work ethic is amazing. You're getting uncomfortable. You're doing all the things, and you're learning on the fly that you need to do to win a campaign, which is, you know, fire hose to your face, right?
Absolutely.
How many people would you say you've met in, let's just say, 6 weeks?
Oh, man.
Ballpark.
I don't know. I'm sure it's got to be a few hundred. Right. I've taken a little different strategy maybe than some of the others. I probably haven't done as much. Well, I know I haven't done as much door knocking to the individual people that some of the other candidates have done. And I know that's something that'll have to be focused on in the general. But I've taken a different approach in that what I'm trying to do is do it efficiently. Efficiency and productivity are important to me. And door knocking is something that I realize it needs to be done, but it's not very efficient. And so I've taken the approach of sitting down with people. I call them up. I invite them to come have some coffee or something like mm-hmm. that. Or I go meet them at their office, or I have them come meet at my office. And we sit down and we have a long discussion. Most of the time it's an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
And it's stuff where we get dialogue back and forth mm-hmm. just like this. So mm-hmm. people get to know me, because I think it's important moving forward from this to continue to have that type of dialogue, to go to those people, have those long in-depth conversations, to learn what they have to say. And it's very difficult to do that at a door knock.
Right.
You know, I'm outside, I'm hot, I'm sweaty. You know, you're probably inside in the nice AC, you're probably doing something, and then you get, hi, I'm Dwight McAdoo, I'm trying to get you to vote for me. You know, it's kind of a, it's kind of an awkward situation, and you're busy, and I don't want to take that time from you. I would much rather have an appointment set, we get together, we talk, we do something in depth, and I think that gives you a better understanding of me, and I absolutely know it gives me a better understanding of you. And it, as your representative, that's important,
right?
Because there are going to be times that I think of something and I have an opinion on something, but it may not be the same opinion as the 72nd district. I might be the minority in that time. And if I don't get those long in-depth conversations with the people out there, I won't know them. And I think that's something that we're lacking right now, is that our representative won't talk to people that he doesn't want to talk to. And that'll be something that we hopefully expose. If I move forward, it'll be something that we focus on in the campaign.
Yeah.
Because that's his job. That's my job. The job I want is to be that for the people. And so that's the way I perceive it. I need to get out. I need to have those longer conversations where we get to know each other so we can figure out how to make this a better place.
So you're saying there's value not only in talking to your political base, but talking to everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
And you need to represent what I just heard is you need to represent more of the whole of everybody, not just the Republican Party, which we're both a part of, but that's not the cross we die on. We drive for the people, right?
That's right.
We're fighting for everyone, the collective. Yeah. And I see that, and I see you doing that in our conversations. That's how me and you met. So I'm hoping this will get to about 5,000 people. So you're just knocking on 5,000 doors right now, and in different ways and different means to get people to your message, to understand who you are, to see in long form, and to hear a little bit about you. Of course, we can go deeper, and there's a lot of work ahead of us that needs to be done. But I think the first things first is you're personable. You're willing to sit down and disagree with people, but hear what they have to say. And it seems to me that I've seen you in two or three other conversations, whether you know I'm listening or watching or not, where you seem to always come to a conversation like you might have something to learn. Is that how you approach that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I'm a... I believe in lifelong education. I believe in always setting yourself up for success. And the only way you can do that is if you continue to learn. You know, I have one set of eyes that I look out through. And in this district, you know, there's 30,000 sets of eyes that are out there looking. And I'll never see everything. And I'll never understand those things until we sit down and have those conversations.
That's awesome. And I really believe the community as a whole, there's a 20%, you know, hardcore right wingers. There's a 20% hardcore left wingers. And I believe the rest of us are in the middle. And I'm one of those. And I just want somebody that's going to be willing and able to debate hard things, bring the hard conversations to the table, knowing we all have something to learn from each other. And it's going to take everybody doing their thing. But as you stated on this podcast and how you brought together the team as a whole, it matters. Without the synergy, without the message to everyone, it doesn't matter. We can charge up our own base, but if we're not talking to the community or the 72nd as a whole, we're missing a lot of pieces that can help us move forward in a better direction. And you know, why are we so afraid of conflict? I don't have the answer, but it's not like it's a bad thing if you do it right. You know, Nate Regeer came on and he wrote a few great books that we've had on our site, and they can go and search those podcasts out. But he talks about the conflict and the hard conversations, but how you find the gold in that, right? Basically. And I truly believe you're the guy to do that. I appreciate you stepping up and running. You know, I have another, I would call him good friend running as well. I know the other two from one or two conversations, but I'm excited for the representation, the possibility of a change so we can open up communication to everyone, not just our party. But we need all the voices to be moving as best we can in the same direction, right? And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for investing like you are, your time, your money, your energy. You have a family, you have businesses, and now you're running to be a state representative, and you're just such a champion of people. I appreciate that, and the work doesn't go unseen. So thank you for giving me this time. And is there anything I haven't asked you or anything you want to leave us with before we end this?
Yeah, that's man, it seems like I could probably go on for a while to try to take the opportunity to get myself out there. No, I appreciate this time that you're giving me. I know that through this process, man, I've met a lot of good people. I've made a lot of good connections. So for me personally, even if I don't get to move forward and I don't get to represent the 72nd, I know that I've done things here that are going to benefit me and my companies and my employees. So I would thank the community for that. I've made some new friends, and I know that we'll definitely continue to work on other things as we move forward. But at the end of the day, I'm doing this because I want to do it. You know, I want to be able to go and represent the 72nd. I think I have the skills that are necessary to do it well. And I think that I have an open mind enough to listen to everyone and not just, you know, not just the Republican Party. I mean, that's what I'm working on right now, because that's the, you know, we're in the primary, and,
right,
and
right.
That's the first group of people I got to win over.
Right.
But after I win that group of people over, then it's the whole district, you know, and there's going to be a lot of, in my eyes, there are going to be a lot of harder conversations that come from that, because the group becomes more diverse.
Right.
But I'm absolutely willing to go and talk to those people and learn from them and try to at least see that I have everybody's best interest in mind.
I believe you'll do that. Thank you to Dwight McAdowell for coming in today and spending time with us in Harvey County Digital. Thank you to the Harvey County Digital team and everybody that's going to be involved and that is involved with this. Colin, you're a rock star, man. Thank you so much for what you do. And we're looking forward to getting this and getting it out to everybody here in the very near future. Want to real quick, thanks to our sponsors one more time. Kane Painting, you are amazing. We appreciate you. Thank you for understanding our vision moving forward and pitching into that. Faith and Life Bookstore, we appreciate you guys too. And so thank you for everything you do for us to be able to produce these episodes, to get them out to you guys. And so you can see the champions in our community, whether you agree with them fully or not. Dwight, we need guys like you doing what you do. Thank you for being a leader. Thank you for stepping up and running. And whether we win or not, I appreciate the relationship we're building, and I'm looking forward to all the things we're going to do in the future, man.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
All right, Harvey County Digital. We're out, guys. See ya.